much more safe than that. The place of God's people. You know, they had to be briefed, an FBI report, in a place they called the SCIF. It's spelled S-C-I-F. It's like the Dome of Silence that they had in Maxwell Smart. Actually, it's a concrete reinforced room about four stories beneath the Senate, in which radio frequencies and other noise cannot be transmitted or received. And every senator has to give up their iWatches and their cell phones before they go in. And they're observed that they don't break any of the rules. They can talk. That's about all they can do there. And in that room, they read the report. Well, isn't it nice that we have our own SCIF and we can read the report without any problems at all? Anybody can watch us. We can have cell phones. It doesn't matter. We are in a safe place in the Word of God, in the house of God, amongst God's people. What a blessing it is for me to preach here. I have to tell you. This is like, if you're called to teach and to be a preacher, this would be the place to be. Surrounded by people who love you and you love them. What could be better? There is no Judas among us. You know, and the Word of God is true. So Rick always tells me, well, it was a good teaching. It was the Word of God. Thank you, Rick. Hopefully use some of the talents that he's given us as well. But it is a bright and wonderful thing that God is doing in our midst. I'd like to tell you something about the prophetic word that's been going forth in this land at this time. And this is just a preview. And the things that we have felt as elders in our spirit of what's going on, we felt since the last election that there was a shift in the heavenlies. There was a time of reprieve. There was a time that that finally some of the oppression would leave and we could rejoice in the Lord. And I have to tell you, it's true. We found that to be true. There's been a greater depth in worship. There's been a greater depth in prayer. There's been an awesome visitation of the Lord in our midst. We haven't seen numbers grow, but yet the children are coming. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, no. Let me tell you something. No move of God that I can know of, maybe you can correct me, but no move of God that I know of has happened without prayer, without a group of people that are called by God to bring in and usher in the kingdom of heaven. Thy kingdom come here on earth, just like it is in heaven. So we get a vision of what it's like in heaven. That's what teaching is about. That's what we participate in worship. That's a little of heaven. And we can like taste it, feel it. Now we know when we die, we're going to heaven. Right? I was in prayer last night, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said to the Lord, I said, I'm really not sure I'm ready to go to heaven yet. So you can go to heaven while you're still alive, Peter. Yeah, with this mortal body, pain or no pain, sickness or disease or not, you can still be in heaven because you can worship the Lord. You can go into the Holy of Holies. Make your request known unto God, that you can stand for other people in their pain, in prayer, that you can come freely without oppression into the kingdom of God, into His holiness, His holy place, His skiff, and where the enemy cannot touch you. Is that right? That's good. That's good to know. Now, some of you have been beat up, like Helen was testifying this morning. The enemy, I know what the enemy's strategy is. He's to confuse and do all kinds of things so that you can be confused and not know where you are. You think, oh, I'm losing ground. In actual fact, that's part of the prognosis and some of the diseases we face in our life. And we need to come against it. So home groups are very important, that we can encourage one another. My home group, almost everybody said, yeah, we'll be having nightmares, and things haven't been good. I said, well, follow me. Well, what are you doing? So if I'm having a nightmare, I get up and I pray for other people. I pray for myself. I worship the Lord. I put a song of God in my heart. Follow me as I follow the Lord. I'm not following my own interest at that time of night. My own interest would be go back to sleep. But my interest is the interest of the Lord. And so oftentimes he brings me into prayer for you and the things we go through. Oftentimes I know that the things I go through are for you. For it's death in me that brings life to you and to others. We experience the temptations of the enemy. We experience pain and agony. We experience all kinds of things in life so that when Helen's in our midst and says, I don't know, I just feel like I'm sliding, we can pray for her. Because we've been there. We know what it's like. It isn't something that's a doctrine. It isn't something that we haven't already felt and dealt with ourselves. So we count it a blessing when he put us through various trials. It is. It truly is. And it becomes a joy. Now, it's hard to believe, but that's a fact. The Word of God is true, and the enemy is a liar. The Word of God is true, and the enemy is a liar. This book does not lie. It never will. It cannot. Well, I think what's happening, this is my own idea or impression, is that finally the enemy is bleeding. And he's confused, maybe for the first time in a long while. And when people are bleeding and confused, they fight back irrationally. He doesn't like what's going on in the world. He doesn't like what's going on in the United States. When the earthquake happened in Malaysia just recently, it was like no other that experienced on Earth, in that it was just a simple strike slip fault that moved and should not have caused the tsunami that did. And yet people miles away felt like not that the earth was just shaking, it felt like it was liquid. And it was moving in such a way that there was no hope. And for many, they perished. The enemy is awake and afraid of what God is doing in the earth today. The enemy is awake and afraid of what God is doing in you today. If you just pray, that's just enough. Because our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in the hand of the Lord. Now, I have heard prophecies recently and read some that are so positive that you wonder, how can they be true? Now, I'll give you some warnings about prophecy first. One is, archangels, especially Michael, are mentioned in the Bible a few times. And you know, the people and the angels that blow trumpets, they're already spoken for. There's no new trumpet that's going to be sounded. So be careful when you read the prophetic word that the trumpets of the Lord are already counted for. And you can find them in Revelations. Gabriel isn't going to somehow blow another trumpet. But there is a shift in the heavenlies. And I don't have to put Gabriel's name next to it. It is a move of God. And it's not ushered in just by the total, complete, overwhelming grace of God, but it's ushered in by the prayer of the saints. You know, it is something that the Holy Spirit moves in the prayers of the saints. It is not, he will not do it alone, but he will do it with his bride. Think about it. If I were to plan a major project, don't you think I would tell Cheryl about it? Now, why would I do that? The negative part of that would be because she would be angry. That's not why. That's the lie. You do that because you want to have solidarity, you want to have support, you want to have affirmation, and you want them to be on board, to be an owner of the process. So for God to just sovereignly come in and bless the United States for no reason doesn't make sense. Now, I know he's blessing the United States. I've watched Franklin Graham's videos over and over. And one that he tweeted yesterday of the what's going on in Monterey was like unbelievable. The gathering of God's people, the gathering of new Christians into the kingdom. So I know he is moving, but you can believe Franklin's team is praying. Don't believe for a second they're just waiting for a sovereign move of God. Oh yeah, it'll be sovereign because every move of God is sovereign. But he's going to counsel with his bride. He's going to say, what do you think? Think it's time? Think it's time for me to bless? Do you think you need a reprieve? Yes. You think I can do it? Yes, I have the faith that you can do it. Is there any doubt that God could not stand up to the mark and say, yes, Satan, be gone? And he would be gone. There's something that shifted in the heavenlies. But the enemy is bleeding and confused. You know, I took Cheryl out for her dinner birthday on the 5th. So was that Thursday? Friday. Friday, right. Oh, well. Yeah, it's nice being retired. Thank you. I wish. And for the first time in my life, I felt something that I had not felt before. You know, it was right after the Senate committee had voted, and you heard, you know, the screaming and intolerance and the heckling and the oppression that was going on. And for the first time, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, a party of four women sat next to us over by the window, and another party of two were already seated. And I felt intimidated, a spiritual intimidation for just being a man, for just having testosterone. God made it. And I thought, well, the enemy is definitely ticked off. He's definitely bleeding, and he's definitely confused. If he can think that he can take us, among us, God's women and men who are called to be kings and priests unto their God, you don't need a Levitical priesthood because you are. You don't need a sovereign king because you already have one. But you are a king under him. If he thinks for a minute he can intimidate you, he's got something coming. Because your prayers are powerful, even at their weakest point. Because you only need the faith as a mustard seed, a start. You don't need a full-blown tree or a plant. And there are some full-grown trees around here. Trees that are strong, that bear up under the weight of a storm, that the birds of the air can come and make their nest in a safe place, in a place of sanctuary. A place where the enemy cannot come. Let me read to you a psalm, Psalm 27. So if you turn there. This is a psalm of the fearless trust in God. Fearless, and we heard that word this morning. 27. And trust in God means that we do just that. We don't trust in our own feelings, in the situation, the circumstance, our own intellect, or the power of anything that human beings can bring. But we trust in the Lord. This psalm is there as a prayer to encourage us as we are to encourage one another. Let me start reading. The Lord is my light, oh thank you Lord, and my salvation. whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread? And we sing that song, that new song which I love so much. It's found in Romans 8:31. We are more than conquerors in Christ. More than conquerors. Verse 2. When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamped against me, my heart will not fear. Oh, everybody else may have come to that place and be very much afraid. But his confession is, I will not be afraid. Though war arise against me, not just a battle, but a war, and we've heard that word, in spite of this, I will be confident. A war. How many people are confident in the midst of a war? Except for Winston Churchill. I wonder if he read this scripture. You can be sure he did. He was a man who read many books. We find in Isaiah 54, verse 17, that no weapon formed against us shall stand or prosper, but it'll be fashioned even against the enemy. Verse 4, one thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek. Well, what is that one thing? That I will dwell. That means permanently reside in a place of safety. In the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not just for time. And I will behold the beauty of the Lord. Even in the midst of battle. The beauty of the Lord surrounds us. Even when we're called to wear those army boots of peace. We will see the beauty of the Lord. It's all around us. It doesn't fade. You know, in spite of the conflict and the acrimony and all of the bitterness, just take a look around you. His beauty is shown in his creation. And the birds in the sky, and the leaves on a tree, the sun, the moon, the stars. And I will meditate and pray in his temple. John 15:4 says, I will make my abode with him. Those who abide in me shall be saved. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble, is that your day? Well, let me tell you something. If it isn't your day, maybe you just predicted you don't even know you're in trouble. The enemy has plans against you, but you know, the Lord has plans too. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, that secret place. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. In Colossians 3:3, I am hidden through Christ Jesus and in our Lord Christ Jesus. Pretty good so far. It's good stuff. It's not speaking of a time when God just blesses. It's speaking of a time when the enemy is hard at work. And we know that Scripture says that as the end times approach, evil will become more evil, but the church will be more church. The goodness of the Lord will be abounding in our midst. And he's adding to our numbers. I'm not talking about our church in particular, but the church as a whole. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. Problem is, we're constantly looking in the face of our enemies. We need to look above the face of our enemy. I have a feeling that Gideon's army was doing that. They weren't just now looking down at the water and seeing how to put the water to their face because they were thirsty, but they were looking ahead. But they were looking above, too, to see what God is doing. It is all too easy to know what the enemy is doing. It's a little more difficult, not much more, but a little more difficult to find and discern what God is doing. One of the things that I was listening for in the Senate chambers Was there one who was listening beyond the acrimony, beyond the hateful speech, beyond anything, to maybe what God was doing in their midst?
Yeah.
Came for me in a source I didn't expect from Graham, South Carolina. I said, wow, I didn't know you had the guts. Well, you have guts? Are you getting it? You're standing up to the enemy? Sometimes it doesn't take a huge word like that to just blast him. Sometimes it's a word, and most of the times it's a word of sugar that will be a healing to the land. It's a word of honey that everybody wants to hear. Like, you know what? There's peace between us and God. You don't have to be at war with him. I will offer in his tent sacrifice with shouts of joy. Shouts of joy. In our midst, we have heard and hear continually in worship shouts of joy. Tim is not here to say amen this morning, but I'm sure he would.
Hallelujah!
There we go. Thank you. That was close. I will sing, yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. Psalm 22 says that he inhabits the praise of his people. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. You're not going to seek a resolution to the problem. You're not going to seek your own idea. You're going to seek the face of the Lord. And then he says, do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O my God of my salvation. Someone else said that while he was dying on the cross. There is a time when we seek out the face of the Lord. And although we feel like we are abandoned, we feel like we're alone, we are not alone, and we are not abandoned, and never will be. I'll talk to you a little bit about that doctrine, not too much. But I've heard it said that, and I have said even, that when Jesus was on a cross, that the Father had to abandon him because all evil was upon him. But I'll tell you, John the Baptist said one thing. He said, when the Spirit came down upon the Lord, it says, you will know it's the Christ, you will know it's Jesus, because the Spirit remained and did not depart and will not depart, will never depart. And it was the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit within him, that allowed him to go down into the gates of hell, allowed him to open up the gates, allowed him to be resurrected from the dead. Oh, not allow, but caused him to be resurrected from the dead. And cause that fear to be banished from his mouth as he gave his life up, not to the circumstance, but he gave his life up to his Father in heaven. See, the enemy did not take the Lord's life. Pontius Pilate did not take his life. The Roman Empire did not take his life. Herod did not take his life. He gave his life to the Father at that moment. He should not have died, even according to medical processes. It was too early. People usually live for 48, 72 hours on the cross that he was on. Verse 10, for my father and my mother have forsaken me. Really? Yeah, your mom and dad let you down. Guaranteed. If you don't know about it, just ask him when you get to heaven. But the Lord will take me up. Exodus 3:7. The Lord hears the cry of his people. I've said this before. Israel cried unto the Lord when they're under the bondage of Egypt, and it took the Lord a while to respond, but he had it in his mind to do it at the very beginning. Because he hears the cry of his people. You are never forsaken and left alone. Remember that. Joni? Yeah, remember it. Those who have suffered with chronic pain and some things like I sometimes do, remember, he's not abandoning you and never will.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, if that's true, you better change my mindset. And that's the next verse, verse 11. Teach me your ways, O God. Lead me in a level path, not one of I'm good, I'm bad, and one that goes up and down, depending on the circumstances, because of my foes. Your foes may be real people, real circumstances, and they almost always in our life are guided by spiritual principalities and powers behind them. Remember, the circumstances that you face aren't just natural circumstances. They are designed specifically for you by the enemy to bring you down. Yeah. If nothing else, to let you say nothing. To just stand by and not pray. I don't need to pray. Oh, yes, you do. Not just for yourself, but for others. Listen, if you're not willing to pray for yourself, at least pray for me. In a football game, hockey game, baseball game, the members of the team are always encouraging each other to the point that it's ridiculous. The fans are there to cheer them on. Well, you have a cheering squad you don't even think about. The angels in heaven are cheering and singing over you. There's scriptures about that. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. All the valleys and the hills, they shall rejoice before the Lord. Well, teach me what it's about, Lord, because I forget. Owen sometimes says that some people leak. I think we all leak. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to be encouraged. That's why we need home groups. That's why we need personal testimonies. Because given enough time, we just do what's right in our own eyes, and that's sinful in the Lord's eyes. We have to do what's right in His eyes. And the only way we can do that is by reading the Word of God and being related to one another in such a way. Listen, you may not like me. You have to love me. It takes a different mindset. You know, I may be critical of you personally. Shoes you wear, socks, you know, how you carry yourself. Come on, you guys don't do that? We're comparing. This is what we do in the world. But you know what? When God brings us together in the body of Christ, all of that is nonsense. Teach us your ways, O God. We come committed to each other in such a deep and moving way. The enemy has no way that he can somehow bring division between us. Well, we have a lot of work to do. How does God teach us His ways? The Word of God through the Word of our testimonies. We love not our lives until death. We are committed warriors, men and women of God. You are, and I'll speak it over and over and over again until you get it, until I get it. We are not just mere men and women. We are to stand tall in the battle. We are stronger than David's mighty men. We are stronger than them. They only had swords. But our weapons are much more effective than that. Do not deliver me, verse 12, over to the desire of my adversaries or false witnesses. For false witnesses have risen against me, Yeah, not just Justice Kavanaugh, but against us. And such as breathe out violence. Matthew 6:13 says we need guidance from the Lord to know how to respond and whether to respond even to the attack and the plans of the enemy. Sometimes we don't need to respond at all. Verse 13, we're almost done. I would have despaired, given up. That's what despair is. Depressed, being lost, confused. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Jesus said over and over again, I'm not a God of the dead, I'm a God of the living. Are you alive or dead? All right. You know, next time you pray, first thing you say to the Lord is, I'm alive. The life that he breathed into you was for a purpose. Not just for you to have children, or not just for you to sing praise, but you to be alive. And alive means the life of Christ within you, however he wants to use you. Hebrews 11:10, there's a whole city of living people that he has called, the city of hope. Not a city of despair, a city of hope, a new city, a city not made with the hands of man. Does this place here look like anything that we would be proud of as far as artwork is concerned? I mean, I love the banners and stuff, but I mean, come on, there's cathedrals that are just really awesome, stained glass windows, and the echoes and acoustics are wonderful. Here, the beauty of the Lord is in you. Not even in our numbers, but they're in you. Preach it, Peter. I'm trying. I don't know how to make it any clearer. This is really a wonderful place to be. In the presence of God. You know, Christine's daughter said it so well. I mean, Helen's daughter said it so well. You need to go to church, Helen. Amongst God's people. You don't need to be in a cathedral. You don't need to be in a work of art or a nice place to be, comfortable or whatever. You need to be in and amongst God's people for their encouragement, for their life to be part of your life. And that's why I'm really happy to be here this morning. I could go to another church. I have to amend that. I don't think I can. Thank you. I don't think the Lord would either. I mean, how do you de-elderize somebody? That's not even a word, right? How do you retire in God? You really don't. Claudia prophesied, and she's shared at home group several times. You know, the writers of the Gospels and some of the and Revelations, John was probably in his 90s when he wrote that. Yeah. Who knows? He might have even had some remnant of dementia. I have no idea. No. Some would say, but not me. I'm just trying to think of some way I can encourage you more than I already have. Somehow to be more demonstrative. You know, when Senator Collins got up and she made this, what now is considered a historic speech of the presumption of innocence until proven guilty, among other things she mentioned. She stood up against the spirits that are in this country that needed to be confronted. I'm not talking about political parties. I'm talking about spirits. Spirits that would convict a man or a woman and used to do it all the time. without evidence, without credible evidence. A false testimony is something that's really very near and dear to the Lord as evil. In verse 12, I'll read it again. For false witnesses have risen against me. And there were false witnesses that were risen against Jesus too. False witnesses. It's like that he almost reserved a special place for them. Something I don't want to do. Now, I might lie unintentionally and embellish the truth unintentionally. I try to be as honest as I can, really. But to purposefully lie, to discredit another person, the Lord finds that very, very offensive. I'm not going to go too much further into that. There's a lot of scripture about it. It's heinous. It's not right. And it was no wonder that the framers of the Constitution of this free country, with the liberty we have, made sure that was available to us in the Bill of Rights. It was available to us by a jury of our peers. It was made available to us by the separation of powers. It was made available to us. There's no other country in the world. I'm waving the flag too much today, I know. But there's no other country in the world that stands for freedom and liberty that we do in the United States. All other countries stood for their sovereign state as a country and the peoples in that country. We could not do that because we were a country of mixed immigration. We were a company of people that came from all over the world. And the only thing that we had in common was the idea that we desire to have freedom and liberty, that we could worship any way we wanted to, thank you. That we could think and say whatever we wanted, thank you. That we could no longer be oppressed by the clergy anymore. We could no longer be oppressed by a political party anymore. That's your right. People are dying for that right, even today in Afghanistan. In Iraq, in places of Africa. People believe it with all of their heart. They don't just think it as a theology in law school. They're willing to lay down their lives for it. Same principles of fairness the Lord has in mind for us. But beyond that, an idea of blessing, which is also the framers of the Constitution put in there too, in the Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness. We pursued our happiness not in material wealth or even land. We pursued our happiness in the joy of the Lord, in this gift, in this place, in this safe place, this fortress, this strong tower called the church. Wait for it, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Wait for it. How long? Well, however long it takes. Don't be impatient. Who's the most impatient in our house, Cheryl? Go ahead, you can say. I am. There's no doubt about it. But that's why I hear from the Lord over and over again. Be patient. Listen, I worked for the federal government for 27 years. I worked under the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, whom I vehemently disagreed with his doctrine on abortion for 8 years. And I told my boss the day he was in office, I said, if they do one abortion here, I'm out of here. Come on. The Lord said, be patient. And I waited. Not one abortion was done in any government hospital, Army hospital, Navy hospital, or a veterans hospital all those 8 years. Hallelujah. Not one. The doctor simply said, we're not doing it. He made an order. The third day he was in office, he signed it. You shall do it. And it was completely and utterly ignored by all of the doctors. Not one. Now, maybe today there would be more than a few. As far as I know, they still haven't done any. Okay. I need this, Lord. Be strong. Be strong. Put on the full armor of God. Be strong. Who's going to be strong for you? The God in you is going to be strong. The Holy Spirit within you is going to make you strong. Let your heart take courage. Let it take courage. Put it on. Courage. I don't feel very much encouraged, but put it on. I will stand. Speak it. I am standing in the righteousness of Christ, not my own. I'm standing in his courage, not my own. I'm standing in his strength, not my own. Yes, wait upon the Lord. And that's what it's all about, Isaiah 40:31. We've heard it over and over again. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they will rise up with wings like eagles. And let me tell you something about an eagle. Their wings are pretty strong. They're huge, but they're strong as well. I remember when a bald eagle was flying by my bicycle. I must have been going 20 miles an hour. And he flew by at least twice the speed that I was going in. And I felt the breeze. They're strong. So you wait upon the Lord. You're not going to be a weakling in Christ. You're going to be strong in the Lord. Come on, you. Every one of you, every last one of you, the weakest among you, will be greater than the Old Testament prophets. God is waking everybody up. God is saying, I no longer have to wake them. I am waking them up. We only just have to recognize it and do it. Amen? All right, let's stand together. Victorious warriors. Father, we are encouraged in you, not in my delivery of a message or in this song, but we're encouraged in you by the Holy Spirit that you gave from heaven to rest upon us, just as it rested on the Son of God when he was walking upon earth, just as upon you, Lord Jesus, when you were baptized by John. Lord, that same Holy Spirit came down and was resident on him, and it's resident on us today. We speak in tongues against the enemy's schemes. We come against the spirits that are out there in the schemes of not just us, but in our country and in the world that we know it. And sometimes we don't even know the evil that's taking place. But Father, the Spirit knows and searches the heart. And Lord knows your heart. We know in part, but as we come together, we know more fully. And I thank you for the testimony in our midst. We thank you for the prayers in our midst. We thank you for the needs in our midst that you have brought to our attention. That we stand together, united together as the bride of Christ. And as you call us, oh God, to pray, we pray. We stand in prayer. We stand together. We do not falter, but we firmly place our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus, which is our peace. Forgive us, O Lord, for any sins. Forgive us, O Lord, for coming short. Forgive us for trying to do it in our own strength. But Lord, having said those prayers, Lord, now, let it be without restraint that you come into our midst and overflow in the power of the Holy Spirit, individually, in the home groups, and in every place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, say it, amen.
Amen,
amen. Okay.
Peter, can I share?
Sure can.
A couple of verses from 2 Corinthians.
Second Corinthians chapter 4.
I'm just going to read a few verses which I think are really encouraging. Starting in verse 3, and if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, that Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of the darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore we also speak. When God gives us words to share with people, they have great power, because his word does not return void, but his spirit is in our words. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, which may be troubles, afflictions, temptations, whatever, but we look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are only temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
So last night when I went to bed and tried to settle down, I just had these thoughts just kept bombarding me, and it would normally just lead me to fear. I would just, you know, go that way, and I just felt the Lord say, just begin to speak my name. Speak my name. Praise me. And I began to do that, and as I began to do that, there was this clarity that of the power of the name of Jesus just came. I think the Lord was giving me faith to overcome, you know, to stand in him. And so I believe that God wants to do that. Yeah, he's going to do that. He's going to show us. He is showing us the power that we have in him, in Christ. And this morning, I didn't think about it, but I was reading the part of where David, he went up against Goliath. He was this little guy with a rock. And, you know, what he said was, you know, how dare you defy the army of a living God? It's our God. Our God is who we serve. He's an awesome God.
I got to share a couple of testimonies because our God is such an awesome God. And before Vicki and I went on vacation, and we do this all the time, is that we never take a vacation unless God goes with us. We never take a vacation from God. So when we go on vacation, we pray and ask the Lord to be, you know, led by his spirit if there's someone he wants to speak to. And Wayne, you actually prayed that over us at the airport also again, so it was a confirmation. And so we went expecting the Lord, and God didn't disappoint. We ended up sharing with this one guy, Carlos Emmanuel Hernando Barone. I mean, it's a great big name, but Carlos is what his name was. But we shared with him the first night. We talked with him a little bit about God, and then the next couple of days later, we went back. We shared again with him. This was a divine appointment. The third night, it was like about 18 or 20 minutes in a restaurant that we're sharing the gospel with him. He never got in trouble, but he heard the gospel, and God put his word in his heart. And it was just so cool that God is in control, and he actually protected him, and yet the gospel went forth. We're in another restaurant, and this guy, Matthew, thank you. He, Japanese-Irish descent. But he, I'm sitting there, and I felt the Lord said, "Do you know what your name means?" He said, "No." I said, "It means gift of God." Actually, first time I had it wrong, I misspoke, and then I corrected myself, and I said, "It means gift of God." He said, "Man, thank you. That means a lot to me. That made my day." So he's going around the whole restaurant telling all the other waiters and waitresses that he's a gift of God. And in fact, he was, because he said he moved back down to Florida because his mom had cancer, and now she's cancer-free, but he felt to come down and do it. So God just opened doors, and one waitress walked by and said, "You shouldn't have told him that. Now he's going to be telling everybody." I said, "Praise God." Well, you see, God is a God that cares about his sheep wherever he finds them, and he looks for people that we'd be willing to not be afraid, but be willing to share and testify. And if you think it's just me, I heard this neat testimony. I love when the Lord speaks, and I have an ear to hear what the Spirit speaks. So I turned on the news, and this was what I heard. Everybody knows the name Tim Tebow? No, I'm not building up Tim Tebow. But this is what he says. He's on an airplane watching a movie, and they came on and said, "Hey, is there a doctor on board?" I said, "Well, I'm not a doctor." So he went back, put his things back on, and he said, "The Holy Spirit spoke to him, 'I want you to get up, and I want you to pray.'" And he sees a commotion going on in the back of the airplane. Guys laying on the floor, and the people are all distraught. And he's sitting there saying, "Oh, I'm not a doctor." And he said, "The Holy Spirit," this is right on national news, he said, "The Holy Spirit spoke to him, 'I want you to get up, and I want you to offer to go and pray.'" So he asks a flight attendant, and she blew him off and walked away. He said, "Well, I'll let you know I want you." So another flight attendant came by. He said, "This is what the story is." He said, "I feel I'm supposed to help out." So she goes in the back, and all of a sudden she goes, "God." What happened was the wife, and I believe the daughter, I could be wrong on that, were so distraught they didn't know what to do. They just were totally lost. And so he went back and he prayed for them, and they were so appreciative that somebody would pray, somebody would care enough to be led by the Spirit and just come. And he's sharing this right on TV about being led by the Spirit. And that's what the scripture says. All who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And you can be a daughter too, be a son. But isn't that amazing how God will use ordinary people? Because Tim Tebow, he's nothing, as the scripture says. It's God who is the one that's awesome and mighty.